Telling the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. So good to have you along with us today on the broadcast. It's been a busy day. I was actually in the studio here at 7 o'clock this morning, Eastern Standard Time. Hey, I can only say Eastern Standard Time for, what, a couple more days, right, Gary? Because the end of this week on Saturday night, we'll be switching to Daylight Savings Time. So I never really hear anybody say that, you know, 11 o'clock a.m. daylight savings time. But I guess that to be accurate, we should go ahead and do that. That's the way it would be said. So I mention that because you're going to want to set your clocks ahead 1 hour, which means you're going to lose an hour, right? You're going to lose an hour of sleep. And I've been listening and reading a lot of people's posts out on Facebook, and it just seemed kind of funny that so many people were like, oh, I hate when we do that, because then all week long the kids are all thrown off and they're unable to catch up. And I'm thinking, isn't it really like only good for 1 day? You know, really only 1 day you lose the hour. After that, you know, at some point we got to go ahead and say, hey, we made the transition. You can't be 6 months into this and then go, you know, I hate that daylight savings time. The kids still haven't recovered from that lost hour. I mean, at some point it's over, right? And I think the rules are within that first 24-hour period, okay, we're done. We're into a new day, and you can forget about that lost hour. So with that said, I say all that just to say make sure you set it ahead so that you don't end up being, what would you be, late or early, I guess, for the morning worship service on Sunday morning. If you set it ahead, you'd be late. Yeah, my sermon will be over with. Let me tell the people there at, what's that? They're saying, no, your sermon wouldn't be over with. They're saying your sermon lasts longer than an hour. Oh, okay. They'll catch right after the introduction, I guess, in the sermon. So, but you'll be late for church on Sunday. Let me put it that way. And so you want to make sure that you do that. By the way, let me tell you what I'm going to be doing on the broadcast next week. We're actually going to be joined here in a few minutes by our special guest today, and I'm going to tell you who that is just momentarily. But let me tell you what will take place then next week on the broadcast. You know, the folks are going to be in town putting on the conference over at Woodruff Road Presbyterian Church. This is part of the Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary's conference called The Doctrine of Man. I had Dr. Joey Piper was in the studio with me a week or so ago, 2 weeks ago maybe, and he was talking with us about that conference. I'm going to be over there doing some interviews. I was originally going to try to do some live webcasting from over there, but I don't think I'm going to try to do that. We're just now starting to get a handle on this and getting set up for the live webcasting of the broadcast. So I'm not going to try to get too fancy, but I'm going to go over there and tape some interviews, and then I'm going to come back over here in the studio for the live version of that. So I've got an interview set up right now with Dr. Guy Waters. Is going to be one of the interviews that I'll be conducting over there. So that's going to be interesting. And then I'm also going to be doing an interview over there on Wednesday. Thursday, I'm going to be back here in the studio because I'm going to be doing an interview with the author of The Brass Heavens. That's another book by Cruciform Press. And I'll be doing an interview with him. Now, I may talk about that book. He's got a few books out. A little bit about Brass Heavens, but he's also got one out about counseling one another, and that book is of interest to me as well, so I want to talk with him about that subject. So we'll see which one by next Thursday which one of those two books I settle on, but we'll be talking to the same author either way on those two books. On the broadcast today, we're going to be talking about the subject of the gospel. No surprise there, right? I mean, we talk about the gospel every day on this program in one way or another, either looking at culture and interpreting what's taking place in the culture, certainly in the broadcast that we do about theology, of course. We're looking at theology, and then we get to the gospel, of course, in earnest in the in theology, in all of the discussions that we have here on the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. So that certainly is brought out. And then in the whole area of Christian living, maybe this is an area that would make a good segue into our topic, though, today, because in that area of Christian living, among evangelicals, among Reformed in the church, the Reformed community in the church, sometimes the gospel gets kind of set aside. And what I mean by that is they feel that the gospel is important when you first get saved. They say, okay, we need to understand the gospel there. We need to understand the fact that we are not righteous in and of ourselves before Almighty God, and therefore we're not righteous in ourselves. We need to have what's called in theological terms an alien righteousness, a righteousness that is outside of ourselves. And that righteousness is found in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that righteousness being found in Christ then, we look to Him, we come to Him in faith, we believe upon Him, we trust in Him, we rely upon Him for our life. And then as we do that, of course, we're gloriously converted by the Holy Spirit of God and we begin the Christian life. And then as we're living the Christian life, we're being sanctified and eventually glorified in this life. Well, it's in that middle process during our sanctification sometimes that people then feel, Christians then feel, well, you know, the gospel, I needed that in the beginning, but now, you know, I don't really need it during the Christian life as much, at least not that aspect of the gospel. So I moved on to other things in my sanctification. Well, that is not true. We need the gospel every day. We must find our identity in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our acceptance with God is not based upon our performance. Our acceptance with God is based upon Christ's performance, His earned righteousness, that perfect righteousness that He has earned. That's where we find our acceptance with God. Our guest today, Kim Crandall, who wrote the book Christ in the Chaos, How the Gospel Changes Motherhood, she expounds that subject in the 10 chapters of her book. Here's the good news. I'm giving away copies of her book during the program today, and you can get a copy of the book by participating in the program. All I'm going to do is open up the phone lines today. So if you want to call with your question or comment about this subject and that book, if you've read it already or if you have an interest in this subject, then I'll get a copy of this book mailed out to you, courtesy of the good folks over there at Cruciform Press. By the way, this book is published by them. It's published by www. You can go to their website, www.cruciformpress.com, and you can find out how you can get a copy of this book. But I'm giving away copies during my interview today with Kim Crandall, the author of that book, and so that'd be even better way to get a copy of this book. Moms are going to get first precedence today on the program. If you're a mom, a grandmother, you have children, you know, you're going to get first dibs on the freebies today that we're giving away as part of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. When we come back from the break, we'll be joined by Kim Crandall. You won't want to miss it.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
Louisiana Congressman John Fleming has introduced the Health Care Conscience Rights Act this week, which will protect Christians from having to obey the unconstitutional HHS mandates in Obamacare. And on the next Janet Mefford Show, Congressman Fleming will join me to talk about it. Plus, will there be a liberal exodus from the United Methodist Church? Mark Tooley from the Institute on Religion and Democracy will join me to weigh in. That's next time on the Janet Mefford Show.
Today at 3 on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9 FM.
Do you want to gain complete control of your money, forever eliminate consumer debt, and live a stress-free financial life? Focus on the Family is proud to bring you Crown Money Life Coaching, the only award-winning online solution that effectively implements the principles of envelope budgeting and provides you with a personal one-on-one coach. Call now and you can get your first coaching session completely free of charge. You'll also receive a complimentary 5-page report giving you a full picture of your current debts and how long it will take you to become completely debt-free, including your mortgage. Why go it alone and risk still being in debt years from now when with Crown Money Life Coaching, you can be completely out of debt and well down the path to achieving your financial goals. Call 1-800-215-3147 to get started with your first free coaching session. Join thousands who are achieving financial success. Again, that's 1-800-215-3147. One last time, 1-800-215-3147.
Home at last. Dear Lord, you know what a rough day I've had at work. Please help me to leave all my stress outside so I can focus on the precious people inside. Help me to give them my undivided attention without distractions of the workday. Amen.
Mommy's home!
Mommy!
Here's the beautiful family I've been missing all day.
For tips on spending quality time with your family, visit Facebook.com/MakeEveryDayCount.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the second segment of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. Hey, I've got a quiz question to ask you today. I need your help with the radio program today. You know how I like to play a song that goes along with the theme of what we're talking about, and we can't seem to remember the name of that song that talks about the mother that's going through a busy day, and the kids are there in the house. Up, oh, Gary's pointing to something, and we may have gotten it, but let me know if you know the name of that song. And then I can't remember what the chorus line says, but she remembers. This is the the theme is that this is the most important thing that she's doing, that she is, showing the glory of God. She is doing what the Lord wants her to do. Is it something worth calling? Do everything. That's the one I was thinking of. Gary, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Shh, I was going to ask the quiz question. So if you know the title of that song, call in and let me know. 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Let's go to our special guest today. Our special guest is Kim Crandall. Kim has written a very interesting book. It's called Christ in the Chaos, How the Gospel Changes Motherhood. Kim, the most important question I can ask you to start off the program is, did you know the name of that song before I said it?
I want to say Everything is Sacred.
Everything is sacred.
I don't know.
Who's that by, do you know?
Or maybe she says that in the song.
Oh,
I don't
okay.
Know.
Okay. I think maybe she does. So, okay, we're going to go ahead and make sure you get a copy of this book then today, Christ in Chaos. We'll make sure Cruciform sends it off to you so you get a copy. Kim, thanks for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Kevin. It's good to be on.
Kim, tell us a little bit about who Kim is. And what in the world happened in Kim's life that caused her to write this book about finding the gospel or living the gospel, really, in the midst of everything that's going on in motherhood?
Yeah, well, I am a mother of four. I have a 12, 9, 7, and 5-year-old. Mm. So I have a lot of chaos in my life regarding, just the things that are going on around me. And for a long time in my walk with God, I was walking thinking that all the things that I did would earn me favor in God's eyes, and that was where my faith was in doing good things and trying to follow the law. Mm. And it just crushed me, and I just fell apart after my fourth kid. I just couldn't do it anymore. And I woke up one morning and I told my husband, I'm not a Christian. I'm not going to believe this anymore. I can't do the things that what I thought at the time were what God required of me. Because I had completely missed the gospel and the fact that Christ had done all of those things for me in my place. And I was trying to do it on my own.
And using that, the responsibilities and the cares of motherhood in order to earn your own relationship before God. Was that the, you know, pretty much the bottom line?
It was. I really thought that I was more godly if I homeschooled my kids. I thought I was more godly if I only wore dresses or if I only cooked a certain way. And, you know, those things are great. Homeschooling is a wonderful thing. But that was where I had found my identity. That's where I thought that would get me closer to God and that would make me a better Christian than other women.
Yeah, I talk a lot about the idea that there's a lot more identity theft taking place in the country today than what we would like to think. A lot of times we're talking just about somebody getting at your bank account, but I think there's a lot of identity theft in the sense that our identity is lost or stolen as we find our identity in these items. In this particular case, you're talking about finding our identity in motherhood and the many responsibilities associated with motherhood, when for believers, our identity should ultimately be found in our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Is that basically what you're articulating here?
That's exactly. I start off the book talking about an identity other than mom. And, you know, we can label ourselves all kinds of things, the soccer mom, the homeschool mom, the working mom. But you know what? At the end of the day, each one of those identities is going to fail us. When we can't live up to the standards and the expectations of that identity, we're just going to turn to despair. And then when we do live up to those standards, we're going to turn to pride. And what we're forgetting is that our identity is in Christ and that you can take away all those things from us, but we are still in Christ.
Let me mention to our listening audience, if you just joined us, that we're speaking with Kim Crandall. Kim is the author of a book called Christ in the Chaos, and the subtitle is How the Gospel Changes Motherhood. It's produced by Cruciform Press. That's www.cruciformpress.com. And also we're giving away copies of the book on the program today during the program only, so only for the time period here that we're involved in the interview live here on Christian Talk 660 as well as streaming live on sermonaudio.com. So if you'd like to get a copy of the book or you have a question or a comment about something that we're talking about during the broadcast today, you can participate in that conversation, and you can do so very easily. We've set up a toll-free number. It's good nationwide. That number is 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Just dial that number. We'll be happy to work you into the conversation. And then Cruciform will actually send you a copy of the book so you get it right in your mailbox and you won't have to come into the station here, which is difficult if you're in, like, Colorado or something and you've got to come all the way to Greenville, South Carolina in order to get the book. And, you know, it's good. It's a good book, but I don't know the expense there on a trip like that. Kim, you mentioned that you start the book off with an identity other than mom, and I want to go through the 10 chapters of your book. I want you to give us a little summary as we go through those. But actually, chapter 1 speaks about God's faithfulness to mothers. Speak to the listening audience a little bit. Give them a little bit of a summary of what you write in that opening chapter.
Basically, what I talk about in that chapter is my journey to the cross. I talk about how when I was 15 years old, I went to a camp with a church, and a lady pulled me aside and asked me if I wanted to pray, and I said, sure, and had no idea what I was praying. And apparently, I became a Christian after that. You know, it was, there was no heart change. And so I just started to live like the other kids in the youth group were living, and I began working on my list of rules of do's and don'ts, and I thought that's what the Christian life was about, and I lived that way for a long time, and I touched on it a little bit earlier. You know, after that fourth baby was born, I just couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't keep up with all the standards that I'd set up for myself, and I just sank into a hole of depression and lived there for several years, and until God really revealed to me what the gospel is all about, and that my faith was not to be in my faith, but in the saving work of Jesus Christ.
That is such an excellent point. You know, especially right here in Greenville, South Carolina, you know, they refer to this whole area here, the region, as the Bible Belt. And then this particular city is the buckle of the Bible Belt, you know. So Christianity here is cultural. You know, people are used to Wednesday night services and youth groups. These are extremely familiar. I was saved up in New York and in the late 1970s, 1977. I had never heard of a youth group in my life. I didn't know that there was such a thing. I didn't know that there was a Christian school that you could go to. So completely different environment. Here it's completely different. It's built right into everyday living. And so what you just described, somebody going to a Christian retreat, being invited by somebody to go, they have a little meeting around the campfire. The gospel is loosely presented, and you said, hey, if you want to be a Christian, you know, go ahead and, you know, raise your hand. Or one of the common practices that they do is if you want to enter in with Jesus, a relationship with Jesus, everybody's got a stick. You go ahead and throw your stick in the fire with everybody else. And if you do that, then you are, you know, showing your allegiance with Christ and these types of things. So there's a lot of people that are walking around who have done this simple act, who then don't actually live the gospel. They don't really know what they did. And so they're not actually living the gospel out afterwards. It's quite an issue and quite a problem. And so I'm so glad that you talked a little bit about that, that we have to be very careful. Let me ask you, how do you guard against that now with your own children, in your own church, you know, as you're maybe involved there with some of the children's ministry or women's ministry or whatever, what your pastor is doing there at church? How do you guard against that?
You know, I go to an amazing church where the gospel is preached week after week after week, and we don't back down. There's no buts about the gospel, and it is very imperative for my pastor to make sure that people are hearing the gospel and what salvation actually is, and that it's not about we can't save ourselves. It's not about living a moral life. It's about God reaching down and saving us and giving us the faith to believe that we're his beloved. It was really interesting. Yesterday, my husband texted me a picture of a man that he was standing behind, and his T-shirt read, "What are you doing for God?" And, you know, we had a discussion with our kids about that because, you know, it just really shows that that's one of those statements that you look at it and you say, well, I'm doing a lot for God. And, you know, you can list the things off that you think that are good, that you think that are pleasing to God, that are by your own efforts, and become prideful. Or you can look at that shirt and you think, I'm not doing enough for God. I've got to get busy on my list. I've got to do this and that. And, you know, that's not, it's not us trying to climb the ladder up to heaven and climb the ladder to God. It's God reaching down and giving us the faith. And then through that, we serve out of a gratefulness and obedience. And I think, you know, we had that discussion with our kids because we want them to know, you know, these are the things that you're going to hear. But this is what real faith is.
Well, that's great. A great teaching moment. One of those Deuteronomy 6 moments, right, as you're going throughout the day. Yeah, you could just almost hear a spiritual pride in that statement on the shirt. Like, I am doing something for God. What are you doing for God?
Exactly.
We got to be very, very careful. There's a Pharisee in every single one of us. And there's this propensity among the people of God to gravitate back towards performance-based Christianity. It happened was with the Galatians. The Apostle Paul called them on it. And I don't think it was just the Galatians. I think it is. There's something in each and every one of us to gravitate back towards that. Let's run to the phone lines very quickly. We have Barbara is up first. I don't know if Barbara's calling from right here in Greenville or not, but we'll find out. And then right after Barbara's question, we'll take a quick commercial break and then come back more with our discussion. Barbara, what's on your mind today?
Okay, thank you. Yes, I am calling from Greenville, and I don't really have a question, but Kim, I want to thank you. As I am listening to Kevin's interview, I think, had I only had this 30 years ago, and the burden I felt to do and do and do and thinking, where is the joy and the peace? And I want to get your book so that I can read it and share it with the young others in our congregation and help them understand that they're, just like you say, Christ can be in the chaos, too. I just want to thank you.
Oh, Barbara, that's a great comment, and I think you're probably expressing what a lot of moms and women will feel, especially women, or it could be for men, too, but especially during the broadcast today. I think you're articulating what a lot of women are going to feel as we go throughout this discussion even more so. Barbara, if you will, just shoot me an email. My email address is very simple. It's just kevin@knowingthetruth.org. That's kevin@knowingthetruth.org. I'll make sure we send out a copy of this book to you so that you can share it there with the ladies at church. How's that?
Great. That will be fine. And thank you for having Kim on your program. I love it every day.
My privilege. No problem. Okay. Thank you very much, Barbara. All right. Well, there we have it. Barbara's got her copy of the book. Don't miss out on getting your copy of the book. I'm giving them away free today on the broadcast. We're speaking with the author of that book. The author of the book is Kim Crandall. The book is called Christ in the Chaos, How the Gospel Changes Motherhood. You know, motherhood is such an important element of our society in general, such a critical element in the church. Our churches are made up of families, and mothers play such an important role on that. But we need to know, how do we do this role from a biblical perspective? We'll talk more about that after the break.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
Sam Hunter with 721 Ministries.
I start each week asking the Lord what it is He wants me to say and discuss with all these businessmen across the upstate, because everybody in the South has heard everything there is to hear about the Bible. But if you approach it with a different angle and say, have you thought about it from this way? What is really Jesus trying to say to you? I get to just talk about what I think Jesus is really saying to us in this busy world.
Friday at 8:11 on Christian Talk 660 at 92.9 FM.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
Okay, here goes. I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than I do about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old. I know kids like things like PB&J, pigs in a blanket. Oh, and fish sticks. They do love fish sticks. Filets I get, but sticks? What part of the fish does the stick come from? I know I can read a cookbook that'll tell me how to make a red wine reduction. But where are the cookbooks that can teach me how to cut the crusts off bologna sandwiches? Oh, maybe we can compromise on mac and cheese. Can you make that with brie? Everybody likes brie, right?
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to push your food around their plate. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Steve Bell, the project manager from Shoes for Water. We collect shoes to fund water projects in Kenya for people who don't have clean water. I don't need your money, I need your souls. Your shoe souls, that is. Hosting a shoe drive is an excellent service project for your school or a great mission project for your church. To find a drop-off location near you, call us at 864-230-5984 or go to shoesforwater.org.
15 times a day. Matching up socks, sweeping up lost Cheerios that got away. You put a baby on your hip, the color on your lips, and head out the door. And while I may not know you, I bet I know you. Wonder sometimes, does it matter at all? Well, let me remind you, it all matters just as long as you do everything you do to the glory of the one who made you. Cause he made you to do every little thing that you do to bring a smile to his face. Tell the story of grace with every move that you make. And every little thing you do. Maybe you're that guy with a suit and tie. Maybe you're
Well, the first part of that is what I wanted to play was Do Everything, Stephen Curtis Chapman. I think that fits our theme pretty good. I don't think that there's any looking there, you know, in order to try to find fulfillment in what's taking place, but just understanding that everything that you're involved in, if you're doing it out of gratitude for the Lord and what the Lord has done in you and through you by his grace, if you're doing out of the grave, it all matters. It's all important before him. The whole doctrine of vocation that we hear about, that was articulated by Martin Luther and others in the Reformation. So that's the theme of that, and I think that goes along pretty well with what we've been talking about on the broadcast today. We're speaking with Kim Crandall. Kim is the author of Christ in the Chaos, How the Gospel Changes Motherhood. www.cruciformpress.com. They're the folks that have published this book. I'm giving away copies of the book on the program today. And the way that you can participate in that and get a copy for yourself is, like Barbara did, you can get a copy by simply dialing 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Kim, I wanted to go through a couple of the other chapters of your book. In Chapter 3, you talk about God's love for mothers. Give us a little synopsis of what we find in that chapter.
In this chapter, I kind of want to touch on how our identity is in God, being God's beloved,
mm-hmm.
and that we don't earn that love with God. That love is given to us as a gift. You know, and talking about abiding with the Lord. I'm trying to find the verse that I talk about. You know, and God, John 15:9, he says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. That verse just really started to stand out to me at one point in my life, and I realized if God loves me the same that he loves his son, that's a perfect love.
Mm.
That means that I can't do anything to separate myself from that love. That even on my worst days, I'm loved the same that he loves his son because I have Christ's righteousness.
Mm.
And I think that's an important thing for moms. I think that we tend to live, and just parents and anyone in general, we live out our daily life not feeling loved by God, thinking that we have to earn his love. And that's, you know, that's what's motivating us to do those to-do lists, try and earn our way to God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. I think we gravitate towards God will love me more if I do these different things. And we need to understand that the love of God is eternal. He loved us before we were even born. So he set his love upon us, as it speaks about in the prophecy of Isaiah, of course, that everlasting love, loved with everlasting love, his by, I forget how the hymn goes, his by grace divine or something along that line. But the idea of the everlasting love of God has been set upon us in eternity past. It's manifested itself now in us coming, of course, in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, but that love cannot be altered. We can't be separated from what shall separate us from the love of God. Once in Christ forever, nothing from his love shall sever. So all of that concept building into the idea of God's love, and as you write in your book, specifically for mothers. From there, from speaking about love then, in chapter 4 you speak about discovering grace. What do we find in that chapter?
That chapter is where I get really real with the readers. I tell a story of a really bad mom moment with my daughter, and just how God took that and showed me who he was through that, and how I didn't have to punish myself for my actions, that I was forgiven, that I was loved, and that there's grace for us in everything. And I think that moms especially need to hear that, because, I mean, we are just confronted head on with our sin moment after moment all day long. I mean, you're living with these little sinners, and you're a sinner. And if we look at God as this angry judge who is just waiting for us to mess up, that's a horrible thing to live under.
Mm-hmm.
But when we know that he loves us, and that we're still his despite our sin, that frees us to be able to walk closer to him and want to be near him and not be afraid to run to him when we do sin.
We meet the prerequisite for God's grace, don't we, being sinners. And it's the only prerequisite that's given is that you need to be in need of grace. And we're in need of grace, and I tried to articulate in the beginning of the program, we don't just need grace at the beginning of our salvation. Grace, we need grace every day, every hour, every moment of the day. We need to understand something about God's grace, to be applying God's grace to our life, to be living and reveling within God's grace. So it's so vitally important. And people may think, well, we need that grace outside the home. But really, inside the home is where much of our remaining sinfulness, unfortunately, expresses itself among the people that we know and love the dearest, right?
Oh, definitely. I mean, our family acts much differently towards each other at home than when we do at church or in the grocery store. You know, it's just we're comfortable with each other. We've got our needs and our wants. And it is a place where we always say, my husband and I are two sinners raising four little sinners, and we're just trying to learn how to live together with that. And it's a place to be able to show our children grace and to be able to go to our children when we mess up, because we're not too proud and we're not afraid to admit that we can't do this on our own. And I think that's one place that has really changed my life, is that I look at myself as a sinner in need of God's grace every minute of every day, and that doesn't put me above my children. They're right there with me.
I think that book written by Dave Harvey was so good, When Sinners Say I Do. Bringing that whole concept just into the marriage relationship, and now you're furthering that in that chapter, bringing it into the parenting situation, and specifically motherhood. Chapter 5 speaks about weak mothering. When I asked you about the previous chapter, you said, now, you know, we make it real. I thought this was going to be the chapter that was going to make it, the idea of weakness, where we don't have the strength in and of ourselves. But what do you write to mothers in that chapter?
This kind of plays off of the story in the previous chapter of, where I do talk about a weak moment. And I think for me, that's been such a big discovery for me, is to realize that I have the grace to be weak, and that in my weakness, that's where Christ reveals his strength. It's in those weak moments that we begin to see really how amazing he is and how amazing his grace is. And, I talk about, we have chickens, we live out on property, and we have chickens, and we go to the feed store, and we look at all the little baby chicks that are only a day old, and when we go to buy some of the chickens to put into our flock, we look at them, and we watch them for a little bit, and we look and we find the larger ones, the strong ones, the ones that are actually pushing out the other chickens to get the food. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
we don't want the little runts who've been picked on and pecked at and hiding in the corner. And, you know, that's not how God looks at us. God does not point to someone and say, I want her. You know, I think she'll be a good representative. She's nice and strong. She can do this. She's going to be a good Christian. He doesn't do that. He takes the weak, and he sees that one that's, you know, laying on the floor, barely able to make it, and he chooses that one so that he can show his strength through her. And I think it's so freeing when we can finally admit how very weak we are, and it's that grace that empowers us to be able to be bold about our weakness and to be able to admit and boast in our weakness, as Paul says.
Amen. That whole idea of acknowledging our weakness and then looking to Him for strength is the idea. We, you know, we don't find the strength in and of ourselves. And that, you know, a lot of the messages that we hear then are really messages that say or that talk about the idea of pull yourself up by your bootstraps, you know, you need to do this, dig deep and find it within yourself, you know, that's what's needed. But that's not the message of the gospel, right?
No, not at all. And that right there, that's why I wanted to write this book. You know, that's what I had been steeped in for so long, of just believing, you know, you got to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. And then, you know, there was always by God's grace kind of tagged on to the end of those statements, you know.
Yeah.
But that's not really God. That is not the meaning of grace. And it's, you know, all of the books I had read on motherhood and classes that I had gone to and the community that I was fellowshipping with was so focused on how do we do this right? How do we be the best? How do we, you know, how can we do better? How can we try harder? And, you know, and that's great. There's practical things that we do need to talk about. But I think that there's so much work that the Holy Spirit does within us when we finally just stop the to-do list and we stop talking about, you know, how to try harder and just rest in what the gospel has given us.
Amen. That's so well said and so important. You mentioned then, and that maybe we've actually been talking about that as we've been going through, but the idea of living in the gospel then. The gospel is not something that is separated from the Christian life. You know, people say, well, I'm a Clemson fan. I'm also a, you know, I like hunting. And by the way, I'm a Christian as well, too. You know, kind of some sort of a segregated Christian life. But that's not the gospel message, right? I mean, the gospel message should be living in the gospel in every sphere of our life. Is that what you talk about in chapter 6?
I do. And I also talk about the fact that, you know, we're united to Christ. We can't get away from Christ. If we're truly saved, that's something that we're living with, the reality of that day in and day out. And, I talk in chapter 6 about, I tell the readers that I'm not going to give them a list of things to do. And, you know, usually you get to the end of the book and that's what you're looking for. Okay, so you've talked about the gospel. Now, how do I live this out? How do I do this? And, you know, the gospel is not something that we do. It's something that we believe. And through that belief, that's what changes our hearts and that's what changes our thinking. It's just a constant remembering of what Christ has done and asking, how does that apply to my everyday life? I have a good friend who, you know, when I come to her with a problem and her first response is usually, well, how does the gospel speak to that? And I'm so thankful that she's done that with me because it's made me really have to think through, okay, and you might think, well, the gospel doesn't speak to that, but if you really sit down and think through, okay, how does the fact that Christ came and lived a perfect life on my behalf so that I could have his record of righteousness. How does that apply to this situation with my child, who I can't live perfectly and I keep sinning against?
Mm. Yeah, that's so important. I think one of the authors that comes to my mind is Nancy Guthrie. She just does such a great job of applying the gospel that way. You know what I've actually found, though, Kim, is I find in my own ministry as a pastor and teaching and preaching through the subject of the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ, I actually find that many people feel that this is some sort of a new message. A lot of people don't know about the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. They know about the idea that, you know, Christ died upon the cross in order to pay the price for our sins. But the other side of that coin about the earned righteousness of Christ and his imputed righteousness, the concept of justified, meaning just as if I never sinned and just as if I always obeyed,
yes,
the Lord Jesus Christ, both sides of that being included in our salvation, I find that there are many, many people that have never heard that side or that element of the gospel message in our day and age. Have you felt the same, or has that been your same experience?
Definitely, definitely. And that's where I was living for a long time,
mm-hmm,
until I first heard from my friend Elise Fitzpatrick what you just said,
mm-hmm,
just as if I never sinned. And I was always told that, okay, you're looked at as just as if you never sinned. But that, for me, that wasn't good enough. I didn't understand that. But when she said, just as if I've always obeyed, that's where it got me. I think that so many churches aren't preaching the full gospel and leaving that out. And, you know, it's when we were saved, we had our slate wiped clean, and that's preached, you know. Jesus died on the cross and wiped away all of your sins and wiped that slate clean. But what so many times we fail to understand is the fact that that slate was replaced by Christ's perfect record.
Hmm.
And it's not something that we wake up every morning and get started on our righteousness resume. You know, that used to be the first thought in my head every morning was, okay, how can I do better today? I need to rewrite that, what's been erased. And if I mess up, I need to just pray and hope that God will somehow wash that away again so that I can start over. And that's not what it is. We have his permanent record of perfection.
Amen. I just closed out a sermon this past Sunday on that same theme. We're thinking about and looking at passage in Hebrews chapter 2, and it makes reference to Psalm 8 where it says, when I consider the heavens and the work of thy fingers and the moon and the stars which thou hast made, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And I said that, you know, when you go out at nighttime and you look up at the heavens and you think about your own utter insignificance, or even more deeply when you meditate upon the glory and the majesty of God and his holiness, and then you're exposed to your own exceeding sinfulness and you're just bowed in the dust, remember this. That there, up there in glory, there is a man at the right hand of God. And that man is the measure of God's thoughts concerning you.
Mm-hmm.
And so the way that the Father looks upon the Son in his person and work, that makes it so that we can consider that question, what is man and why art thou mindful of him, only because of what Christ has done on our behalf. Other than that, we have no acceptance with God. We certainly have no sense of being allowed to come into his presence. Our own sinfulness would forbid us from doing that. Our own conscience, the law, and everything would stand up and speak out against that. You talk then about in your book a couple, I want to get to these last couple of chapters, but taking off the mask. All right, it's time, you know, enough of this and a new obsession. And then taking off the mask. Give us a little idea of what we find there.
When I talk about the new obsession, what I mean by that is that we need to stop obsessing over our sin and over our performance and start obsessing over the Savior. when, you know, you've heard it said, every time you want to take a look at yourself, take 10 looks at Christ and what he's done. And I think we get caught up in that, just stuck in walking on eggshells. And I know that this, and I still get stuck in this, when I have all my kids home, just trying not to sin all day and just walking on eggshells and waiting for, you know, and then when I do sin, because I'm going to, because that's what I am, I'm a sinner, that, you know, then trying to spend that time afterwards trying to earn my way back to God by whatever means, you know, just some kind of penance that we make up. And really, it's we're so focused as a Christian culture on zapping the sin that we're leaving out the Savior, and we're just making lists of, you know, 5 ways to sin less.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I hate sin. Sin is an awful thing, and it grieves me anytime I sin. But it's focusing on the Savior that makes me want to walk close to him and to not do those things.
Mm-hmm. That side of it, you know, understanding that we still sin and in our weakness and so forth, we've talked about this now for a few chapters and, you know, different elements of it. Let me ask you a different question. Where then does the idea of diligence and earnestness, how do we teach that without, you know, a biblical view of those things, applying ourselves, stretching towards the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus? How do we teach those without gravitating back into works-based, performance-based righteousness before God?
I think that's a huge question in the church right now, as more people are going back to teaching the gospel and writing about the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
I hear that a lot. And, you know, and I'll just take it from my own life. I was taught very well how to do the godly things and what is right. And but the gospel was missing. And I did those things out of they were a burden to me. I didn't do them out of a love for Christ. And once I was told that I was loved no matter what, that freed me to want to do those things, to want to serve my family, to want to love my neighbor. And I think, you know, take the loving your neighbor. That's a wonderful commandment. I think going into that, knowing that you're never going to love your neighbor perfectly, but Christ did that on your behalf, and you have the record of loving your neighbor perfectly, I think that frees us up to love them even more.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Martin Luther, I don't have it in front of me, I can't quote it, but he says that God doesn't need our good works, but our neighbors do.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, still living here on this earth, we have to live with other people and serve them. But if our motivation is not from the gospel, is it really a good work? Is it really, if our motivation is burdensome or because we're trying to earn our way into God's presence, is it really obedience, is my question.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what will motivate people to want to walk with God closer and to want to do those things,
yeah,
is to continually preach the gospel to them and continually teaching them their identity as his beloved.
Mm-hmm. Well said, Kim. Kim, thank you very much for writing this book. I think that many mothers across the country are really going to appreciate your efforts here in putting this together. And thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to visit with us for a little bit here on the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Thank you, Kevin. It was great.
Okay, that was author Kim Crandall. She's the author of a book called Christ in the Chaos, How the Gospel Changes Motherhood. You can get it out there at cruciformpress.com. Remember this, Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.
Life and Liberty Radio, Christian Talk 660, WLFJ Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson on AM 660, and also on FM 92.9.